Good morning. Pastor Mary always teaches on healing, and so I thought this morning I would endeavor to stay in that same vein. And 2 weeks ago, when we were here, as Pastor Mary was sharing, there were just a couple things that she said, you know, that just really triggered things in my heart, you know, just to keep, because sometimes you can have it where, you know, I had just gotten a bad report on something. I've had two good reports, and I had gotten a negative report. And so we have to just not be moved so much by either one of those. And, but as Pastor Mary was speaking, how the Holy Spirit will use that, you know, because we've been real busy and I was real tired. And you have to be so careful not to ever just take those bad reports, you know, into your heart. And so that's where this morning I wanted to stay with healing, even though Pastor Mary gives me, you know, option to do what we want to do. And the same thing, trust in God that the Holy Spirit will speak something that will help put a nugget into people's hearts. And so I want to share just for a snippet here back on the Christmas story, because the Christmas story this year, one part came alive to me more than it ever had. And I think and I shared that before, how, you know, I think we're always wanting that the Christmas story never just be something you read real fast, you know, through, because it's Christmas. And we know the Holy Spirit's always teaching us. And then usually when he's showing you something in a greater measure, you know he has purpose. He knows what's ahead. He knows what's in your life. He knows all the circumstances. And so he'll take and shine the light on something to greater measure. And then that's what we have to do. As he's shown it in greater measure, we have to give greater measure in our lives of Lord, why are you showing this to me? Taking heed to that. And so the thing that just stayed with me so strong this year was about how the shepherds were just doing their thing. Everything was according to the natural. They were feeding their sheep. They were in the same, you know, the pasture. Life was just going on like this. And all of a sudden, an angel comes and stands beside them. And then it says that the glory was flashing and shone about them. Now, you know, I've read that before, and you think, okay, the glory is flashing. This is amplified and shown all about them. And so, what would that be? You know, this glory is flashing. And so they have this happening right now, and angels here, this glory is flashing. And then all of a sudden, they're no longer seen in this, their eyes are opened and they see into the spirit realm, and these angels, the heavenly knighthood, a heavenly choir. But, and we know that it's not just a couple hundred angels, because it says it's a whole heavenly knighthood. And they hear them, these angels, praising God, and they start to say, as we've heard, you know, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then it says that the angels went to heaven. But when I looked at that, it's not heaven like we think when someone goes into the throne. There's also, we know there's three heavens. It means going up into the atmosphere. And so I've always just thought that these angels were in heaven. They came down for a moment, you know, and sang this song, and were back in heaven. And this is still, I mean, you know, to say that I'm going to be able to give you 10 scriptures for this, so I maybe should say this is my understanding of it, because you see where God was always guarding this baby, the father was, and how he would send an angel to Joseph and say, do this. He would send an angel again and say, now do this. He would impress the wise men to bring gifts, so they would have provision for him to escape from Herod. So you see all this planning of the safety of the Christ child. Would it not be that the heavenly knighthood was guarding that atmosphere the whole time? And so it's amazing. If we look in the natural, and I know I already shared this part, that if you just looked in the natural, it looked like this baby was born in filth. You know, it's a manger, it's a stable where the animals are. And, you know, you think this nothing comely about this at all. But if we could have seen into the spirit realm, then the majesty and the glory and the splendor that was surrounding this Christ child, we probably couldn't even take it in. And so it's a part that of that unseen realm and the seen realm. And judging things according to the seen realm and the unseen realm. And so we know that we have natural eyes that see, and we have to. And then there's eyes of our understanding to see things by faith. And so this is not something to be spooky. What happens when we start talking to people about the unseen realm? Then people want to just go out here and float around. No, this is real because this is real. And so it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we know if we're going to walk by sight, it has to be spiritual sight. And so that the spirit realm and the word of God has to be more true than even our natural circumstances. Now, the thing is, we don't deny the natural circumstances. Sometimes, though, we have to refuse to let those natural circumstances get on the inside of us. Because pretty soon, sometimes that can dominate how we respond more than the eyes of our heart being flooded with light of what God says. And so I want to go to another story where in 2 Kings, and you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. In 2 Kings 6, we have again another story where something that appears to be in the natural, and it is that way in the natural realm, but there's also a spiritual realm where it looks very different. And the spiritual realm is real. This is not pretend. So we know that Elisha has been telling the king what is going on. And so the enemy, the king of Syria, he's greatly troubled by this. And he finds out, he thinks he's got someone in his troops betraying him. And they say, oh, no, there's no conspiracy among us. There is a prophet in Israel who is telling the king all of your plans, and it is this prophet that is foiling all of your attempts. And so the king is furious, and he sends a whole army to seize him. And in fact, he says he goes to Dothan. So the king sent their horses and chariots and a great army. They came by night and surrounded the city. So in 2 Kings 6, verse 15, it says, when the servant of the man of God, which would be Elisha, and this servant, his name is Gehazi, when he rose early and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was around the city. And Elisha's servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So I'm just saying to you, in a story in the Bible, there was this wonderful man of God, and he would tell the king the plans of the enemy. So when the enemy would get there and going to beat them, why, Israel knew all the plan, and they'd have a different strategy, and Israel would just walk away safe. So this king of Syria, he had said, this is enough. So he said, we're going to go send, he said he sent a great army to seize one man. And so Elisha and his servant are there, and Elisha's servant wakes up in the morning, and all of a sudden he sees they are surrounded by chariots and horses and a great army. And so he goes to the master, trembling and scared, and he goes, oh, master, master, what are we going to do? Well, the master replies to him in the most unusual statement. He says, there's more with us than there are with them. Well, let's just think about that in our terms right now. Would we just not think this man has gone too far? Now, of course, this is not an everyday occurrence, but we would say, this man, I think we'll avoid him from now on. He seems really strange. But Elisha told him, says, fear not, for those who are with us are more than with them. Then Elisha prayed, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see. Now, he's not talking about his natural eyes, is he? He's talking about the eyes of his spirit, the eyes of his understanding. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, smite the people with blindness, I pray you. And God smote them with blindness. And so then Elisha moved them away. But the part I want to bring out is Elisha didn't deny they were there. So sometimes with healing, we would like to deny symptoms. Just put our head in the sand, you know, as much as possible, just ignore them and just deny that we got the symptom was there. Just deny there's a bad report. So Elisha didn't go out there and say, in the name of Jesus, there's no horses and chariots and there's no enemy. He didn't go out there and say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe there's any horses. I don't believe there's any chariots. I don't believe it. So no, we don't go out there and say, oh no, these symptoms don't exist. No, these symptoms aren't trying to get on our body. But no, he goes to a higher truth. He goes and so he refuses to receive that bad report. He says, oh, there's a greater report. There's a greater understanding. Open the eyes so he can see. And so I think that's what happens to us as we put the word of God in us and we know that Jesus already bore our sicknesses. We know in the mind of God healing is already done. That Jesus, every sickness that tries to come on us, Jesus has already paid the price for it. So we're not trying to deny any symptoms, but we say, oh, but there's another report that healing is available. Supernatural healing power is available because of redemption, because of what Jesus has done. And I think that that is where we have to keep that line is we don't deny things, but we refuse to have that come into our heart. We refuse that that's the final report. We know there is a spiritual realm, there's a higher realm, and we know what Jesus did for us. Did we see him die on the cross for us? No. But we know it's truth. We know it's truth from the Bible. We know that that Jesus bore our sicknesses. It says he took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. And one thing that has helped me at times is if I have symptoms trying to come on me, we can use our imagination in good ways. I can imagine that sickness on Jesus. Because it says if he bore it, why would I need to bear it? If he already took it and did it for me, why would I need to? In fact, then I'll just say, Lord, you didn't do this in vain. You didn't carry this sickness in vain. You didn't take this stripes on your back in vain. I've read things that where Jesus really suffered with these things. He really suffered with these sicknesses of mankind when he bore them. And so we know that there's a higher law. But I think what gets people in trouble is when they try to deny it. They try to just ignore it. If I just don't think about it, it'll go away. And usually when we're trying to deny it, that can be an indicator to us we're not in faith. Either, you know, we're tired and we don't want to deal with it, or we want to ignore it or we want to deny it so that it doesn't overtake us. But no, just like Gehazi said, open his eyes. There's more with us. There's more with us and there's more against us. So it's like, Lord, open our eyes. There's more power in the truth of the Word of God than what my body's trying to tell me. And so that's the next part that we take, and we know that we feed our faith because this is not something you can do by willpower. I'm going to think I'm stronger. I'm going to think they're gone. No. No, if we feed our faith until that truth becomes such a reality to it, we can see it. That's why it says, you know, in Proverbs, it says to attend to the word. It says, don't let the word depart before thy eyes. And so one of the reasons we have to not let that happen is because we have to be able to see with these spiritual eyes to such an extent that we know what is the truth and what the healing is, so that our natural eyes and what we're seeing in the circumstance, because usually when there's healing, your body is giving you a report all the time. I'm better. I'm worse. We've almost got victory. Oh, we're getting worse. The body is giving us a feedback, a readout. And so we have to have that word of God so strong in us, because otherwise, our faith gets to be in the manifestations, doesn't it? And our faith has to be stable in the Word of God. I remember Pastor Mary speaking a couple weeks ago how she had that affliction in her feet. And remember, she'd say she was in pain, and probably the last thing she should be doing was walking. And that doesn't mean you always would do that. There would be times we do use wisdom in these things. You know, but she, remember, she said she would speak to her feet, even though I'm sure her feet were talking. Her feet were talking to her. Her body was talking to her. But then what was she doing? She was telling a higher truth. She wasn't denying that there was pain, but she refused to let that pain be the final authority. It says in Hebrews, doesn't it, that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have lived with the finest clothes, the finest horses, the finest chariots, eating the finest foods. But he says he refused that so that he could do what God wanted. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I think sometimes we have to refuse, not deny, but refuse. This does not have a right. This does not have a right to be on my body. This does not have a right. Yeah, 'cause one thing, we all have a lot left to do. And it didn't dawn on me when I was younger how much I was going to need this body for a long time. And when I have some things now starting to say, we are starting to wear out, I'm having to think, oh my goodness, I have got a lot to do yet. I have a lot of places to go. And body, we are going to have to be renewed. We are going to have to be revigorated, because when you start realizing we're in our 60s, but people are doing things mildly for God in their 80s and 90s, whoa, we have a lot yet for these bodies to do. And so I'm having to dig in deeper into some things and not accept them. In Hebrews 11:11, it says that by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive and was delivered because she called God faithful. Well, we can look at that story and think about just being Sarah, because there was no hope, right? There was no hope. She's old, and her womb is barren, and according to all natural understanding, it is over for her to ever have a child. But it says she received what? She received strength so she could conceive. Sometimes we have to go and just run to the healer. We have to let the Holy Ghost just let us go to the healer. And sometimes it's because you know what? It is so important that we speak the word. It says he sent his word and healed them. He can give you the word in the grocery store. He can give you a word in your car. He can give you a word, but he always sends his word to you to heal you. But sometimes people can stop with just going through scriptures and the word, and they don't go the next level to the healer. And if that happens, sometimes the confessions can start to become dry. We have met people who have confessed the word so much and didn't see a result, where the word of God, like 1 Peter 2:24, is like a dagger to their heart. Because they think, I confess this, and I haven't seen any change. So there must be something wrong with me, or they almost harden their heart. Don't tell me that. I don't even want to hear it. So anytime we start to just have scriptures come out of our heads, or then we have to let, it says the Holy Spirit is the life giver. Jesus said, my words unto you are spirit and life. And we know everything about Jesus is life. We know everything about the word is life. We know everything about the Holy Spirit is life. So if we find ourselves, I know I'm wavering, so I better get in the word and I better confess these scriptures. We've gotten right into the law. So we have to, says that manna didn't come down all dry and crunchy. That manna came down with a dew. And there's times you have to let that just saturate through and through you. Sometimes you have to go and you just start to worship the healer. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Right now, Lord, I know I'm wavering, but Father, I thank you. This is the truth. Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're strengthening me and you're quickening me. I thank you, Lord. You're leading me to a scripture, because sometimes you can be confessing 10 scriptures and they've all become dry. Holy Spirit, show me that one scripture. Show me a scripture, Lord, that get coming alive. And I know your word is the truth. I know you, Holy Spirit, oh, that you'll help me and you'll lead me and guide me. Jesus, I love you. I thank you that you bore my sicknesses. Jesus, what you bore, you know, I know you bore it for me. I thank you, Jesus. And you have to let that moisture come down on the word of God. That life-giving spirit quickening your heart so that it never starts to become just ritual. Because it's the word that's alive in us. It's so vital that the word have opportunity to take root in us. So sometimes it's not just getting up and because you can tell, we do have to lead our hearts out of fear. But what's so amazing is you can have someone selfish. And they can lead their hearts out of selfishness. Sometimes it's by a simple act of doing something they don't want to do for somebody else. Sometimes it's a pattern of praying for your neighbor kids before you pray for yours. Praying for another situation before you can lead your heart out of things. We can lead our heart out of defeat. Because sometimes we try to be strong in ourselves and we realize no one else knows it. But the devil's been planting this seed and thought in your heart about something with healing. You'll never, you know, this has been in your family. This will never happen. You may not be saying anything to anybody. But inside, there's not that full assurance. You know, whenever we realize there's not that full assurance and there's that hesitation, we don't get mad at ourselves or upset, but we recognize it. Oh, no one else may know it, but inside I know I don't have full assurance. So what do? We have to go back and say, Lord, I know this is the truth. And we start to speak the truth. And sometimes you have to get really quiet. You know, when you are in the Word and you are going over a scripture, you can tell when it starts to be something that's getting inside you. There's a difference. And you can tell this is not getting in my head. And usually that is, and we all say it. We all say it by meditating. We all say it by chewing on it. Sometimes I have to just stop and say, oh, that's right, Lord. That's right. That's the truth. That's right. That's the truth. I'm not trying to get healed. I am the healed. Satan may be trying to take it, but I am the healed. That's true, Jesus. Oh, that's the truth, Jesus. That's the truth. Nothing's going to harm me. You've given me power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's true, Jesus. You said with long life. And sometimes you have to slow down and you'll start to recognize it. And you can feel it in your heart. Oh, it's not coming in your head. You can start to feel that. Oh, that's the truth, Lord. And you ponder on it, and you're chewing on it, and it's bringing life and nourishment to us. You know, we know that we're spirit, soul, and body. In 2 Thessalonians, it talks about, you know, we're spirit, soul, and body. And we know that God gave us all of our senses, and we better be using them, because that's when we get weird to the world, when we get that woo-woo thing. So, you know, he gave us the senses, and we need to get sharper with those all the time. But heavenly materiality, the anointing, the tangible healing anointing, the life of God that's flowing in us, the new birth, is heavenly materiality. You know, it says those things that are visible was made from what's invisible. That's in Hebrews 11:3. Now, try to figure that one out in your head. To a natural understanding, a natural mind, until we get born again, that makes no sense. to realize this invisible realm is eternal. So healing will be forever settled in heaven. When Jesus took those stripes, God the Father saw something totally different than all mankind did. He saw the price, atonement was paid forever. And when Jesus took that blood up to the heavenly heavens, it will never change. Healing is eternal. Symptoms and sickness are still in the temporary realm. And when it's in the temporary realm, the eternal realm is greater. And so what we have to do is we feed our faith so that the eyes of our heart see differently. Brother Hagin, and I'll close with this, Brother Hagin was a man of God that we studied under, and he had this incurable disease that even when he was a child, he couldn't run and play because he was so weak. And so when he was 16, he became totally bedfast. He couldn't even roll over or do anything. In fact, there came a time when it would take him, I don't remember now, 15 minutes, I'm going to guess, that's saying to turn the page in the Bible. But he started reading the Bible. No one else believed in healing around him, but he started seeing it in the Bible. And so, and sometimes he'd get victory, and then the devil would come and bring him a thought, you know, that was for them, you know, and someone would even come along and confirm that negative thought. But there was a time he said he began to see the truth. Because he said before he would see the end, he would see that he was going to die. He could visualize the whole thing. He would plan. In his mind he would plan the whole thing. But he said later that word, when it brought light, he began to see differently. He began to see that he could live. He said he began to see himself preaching. He began to see himself out of bed. But it wasn't a fairy tale. It wasn't something he was making up. It was because this started painting a picture that was greater than what his body was saying. Now, I think it's really important that we operate in common sense. You know, we are in a situation with us. We've always been with our children that if we didn't see a change right away, a change or something. We never messed around with our kids with fevers or anything. If we didn't have results, we got help. There are things that, you know, I still get help on, but I found that there's something in our family that, oh my gosh, we have so many family members that have had this, that when you go to the doctor, you don't even want to give your family history, even want to lie when they ask you, because they'll go, oh, they had that, and they did too, and your mom had that, and your mom had it when she was 50. Well, if you're not careful, they can have you already checked off, you know. And I have had to know so many times I could not take that report into my heart. Because if I got into fear with that, because remember with Jairus' daughter? And well, I told you I was going to close the last one, didn't I? With Jairus' daughter, you know, they said, well, anyway, Brother Hagin, I'm sorry, he began to see himself well. So we'll finish that one. So Jairus, he is come, and he said, Jesus, I know if you lay hands on my daughter, she'll be healed. That's where his faith was, right? Sometimes our faith can be at a certain level. You know, you hear people say, oh, I know when I go to the doctor this time, I'm going to have a good report. But if you have, that's where your confidence is. So Jairus said, I know, Jesus, if you come to my house and you lay your hands on my daughter, she'll be healed. So what report did he get? He got the report. Well, you don't even need to bother the master anymore, because what's happened to your daughter? She's dead. Right? So what did Jesus say? He said to him, fear not, only believe. So we can sometimes have our faith in a certain manifestation or a certain report. And then if we're not careful, when that report doesn't happen, we have to go to Jesus. And Jesus says, fear not, only believe. Now, I think it's very important that we know where we are. The church that we were in at one time, the pastor's wife had cancer, and she went and had surgery, and she did all these things. And I told her, I said, I'm so proud of you. I said, you probably have saved many lives. Because there can be times when people can get into foolishness. You know, the Holy Spirit led her to go do this. The Holy Spirit led her to go get the treatments. And you know, and it takes a lot of faith sometimes to do that. Sometimes people don't do some medical things because they're in fear. You know, and so we have to know that no matter what we, but then other people, you see that when they go the route with a doctor, they totally lay down this and put their confidence over here. You know, because you recognize if the Lord does have you do that, that's just a tool. And so I think it's really important as we go into this next year that we are continually perfecting what I call night vision. It's the soldiers, when they would be going into enemy terrain, and they would be going in when they normally couldn't see, they would wear these special, I might call them goggles, I'm sure that the special goggles that gave them the capacity to see at night. And I believe that's why it's so important that we continue to feed our faith, so that as anything starts happening in the world, or what's going on around us, this report or that report, it's like we have night vision, because we have eyes of our understanding, our flooded with light. You know, I heard a phrase this morning that I never caught quite before. I thought, oh, Lord, that's really cool. Because remember when you're seeing an investigation and they said, oh, they had inside information? So they had inside information, so they know what's going on. And the Holy Spirit just quickened that to me this morning. Well, you know, it's all about having inside information. Inside. Because everything we receive from God starts on the inside. Healing is spiritual. And we contact God. And so it starts on the inside. We have inside information. Now, sometimes we want to pretend we're in faith and we're not. So that's where we get real honest. We know where we are. We feed our faith so that the inside information is so real that the outside information is not ruling our life. Hallelujah. And there's a way to walk in this that's not weird and spooky. We've seen that happen, where people are like, woo, I'm over on this realm. Oh, no, you're not. Hallelujah. Praise God.